my songs I have casually mentioned the fact that I like to drink beer. This little song is more to the point. Roll out the barrel and lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a jolly good fellow. I like beer. It helps me unwind, and sometimes it makes me feel mellow.
Makes him feel mellow.
Welcome to Beer Sessions Radio. It's May 11th, 2010. We're on the Heritage Radio Network. The show tonight is sponsored by the Good Beer Seal, goodbeerseal.com, an association of New York City good beer bars. Welcome, everybody. I'm joined by my co-host, Ray Dieter from the DBA Bars, and Dave Broderick, an owner of Blind Tiger Ale House, and John Ludbaum from B United Imports. Quite a mouthful, all those guys. Ray, how are you doing tonight, buddy?
I'm all right. I almost missed the show. Got stuck on the train, had a lot of drama at work, but I'm here and I'm happy. And I'm drinking beer.
We're glad you made it. In fact, I've been lucky. I run into you every day on the street in the morning. Ray's gym got moved, and I walk my dog, and we see each other. Since we're both bar owners, we're not that cheery-eyed in the first thing in the morning.
Not very conversational.
Yeah.
Yo.
And we smile.
Move on. Yeah.
Hey. So we have a special guest tonight. We have Dave Broderick, who is our roving reporter. We're hopefully going to see him every month. Dave was an owner of the Blind Tiger, or still is, in West Village for a long time, and has recently moved to Vermont. And he comes to New York every month to be on Beer Sessions Radio. How you doing?
Excellent. Great to be here, finally.
I've been waiting to ask you these questions ever since we started the show, and we almost had you on a month ago, and it's so good to have you. How did you ever get into the bar business, Dave?
It's a long story. I basically was the only thing I knew how to do after a while. I went to graduate school for journalism, which is the biggest mistake of my life. I chose an industry that was dying, and basically couldn't get a job coming out, and I was bartending on the side, and finally did get a job on a TV show, which then got canceled. And then I just sort of looked around, and I was like, man, like the only thing I know how to do is bartend, and the only thing I really like doing is drinking good beer, so I figured that's what I should get into. So that's kind of how it happened. And
lucky for us.
Yeah, and so started looking around. Ray actually, I think it was one of Ray's first customers at DBA.
That's right. And you were wearing rollerblades, I believe.
I was wearing rollerblades. The only time I ever wore rollerblades. And so knew that they needed something over in the West Village. And took about 2 years to find the Tiger. It was an old gay bar that was going out of business. And nobody wanted it, and it was really cheap, and that's kind of how it happened.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So what news do you have for us? Were you at the Craft Brewers Conference?
I was. It was excellent. I went last year for the first time, but didn't really take part in it because it's really expensive. And this year I decided, you know what, I want to do the classes. And it literally is like beer college. You go out there, and they have all these courses, seminars set up for the brewers. And they're all day long. They start at 8:30 in the morning, no matter how late you've been out. Everybody's there at 8:30, ready to go with coffee. And it's just incredibly informative, and learned so much about where our industry is going, where craft beer is going. And just a lot of cool information that you just don't, you know, you don't normally get. The Brewers Association is incredibly well organized. They really put on a great show. And there's probably 700 brewers. All hanging out, doing classes.
Unbelievable.
And they're all teaching. And that's the one thing the first thing you learn is just how great a community that we have. Mm-hmm. These people, you know, Vinny Salerzo, Russian River, gets up and does a class on barrel aging and literally shares every secret that he's learned over the last 15 years. You know, and I mean, he basically says that, you know, there's all these brewers in the audience, and he basically says, I want you to be where I am now so we can take this whole project, you know, to a whole nother level. And every class is like that. These guys are just, they give everything away and incredibly supportive. Everybody gives out their email. So it's like, hey, if you have any other questions, just send me a line and I'll answer them for you. So it's just, you know, people wonder why this year we were up 7% as an industry. When everyone else is down and suffering through a tough economy, that's got to be, you know, one of the reasons is the support, you know, that we give each other.
That's true. Hey, John, how are you? We have John Lundbaum from Be United Imports.
I'm good, Jimmy. You're doing good, too.
Have you ever been to the Craft Brewers Conference?
I've never had the pleasure. I would love to go. Never have been.
Have you been, Ray?
Yeah, I was invited to speak a few years back. They had a forum of bar owners. I was there with the guy from the Horse Brass in, what's his name?
Don Younger.
Don Younger was there, from Chris Black. From
Falling Rock.
Falling Rock was there. And what's her name? I think she's passed on now. She had a bar in mid-California, in Central California. Anyway, the four of us, we did a session where they, it was like good beer bars. And basically it was, how do we get your beer? How do we get our beer into your bars? And it was fascinating. We had a really good turnout for it. And my statement was always, if you can't compete with Budweiser, you can't compete with Miller, you can't compete with Coors, you can't give away free stuff. There's no way, if you've got a small brewery and you're making great stuff, you cannot try and compete with Budweiser because you're going to lose every time. You can't get as many hockey tickets. You can't get as many hot girls to come in and do bar spends. You have to make good beer. You got to give me information. You got to pick up your empties. And he's got to do the rudimentary stuff because you're not going to get the guy down the street. It's a Budweiser bar. He's not going to spend the extra money for your beer, and you're not going to be able to get it in there. So don't pretend you can. It was a great session with all those great people, and also seeing all the luminaries in the business. You know, Pierre Celis, and God, I can go on with names. Michael Jackson back then. Mm. It's a great place to go. I really enjoy them.
All right. Conference. Well, Dave, you brought some beers from us. Tell us about the beers and some other things you have in store for us.
I think what we're having right now is from Flossmoor Station, which is it's a brew pub in Illinois, just outside of Chicago. And they're making some really, really nice beer. I think this is what, the porter or brown ale? Brown ale. And brown Pullman, ale. Pullman, wow. Yeah, Pullman brown ale. This guy, Brian, he's their brewer. He's really great. And for a brew pub, they have a big bottle presence in a lot of the Chicago stores. And you see it on at a lot of the bars, too. So they must be making a decent amount of beer.
So from having met you a few times and hanging out with you, my understanding is that you're one of the guys in America who knows a lot about many of the really small craft breweries in the country. Or I could say you're an expert on the craft breweries in America.
No, definitely not that. I am into small breweries.
You're not an expert. I thought you were an expert. That's why he's on the show, to be the
self-proclaimed
expert.
Yeah. No, but I'm really into.
That's the best kind of expert.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I guess I am an expert.
Wow.
No, but I do love small breweries and finding out about them. I live out in the country now on a farm, so I'm into farmhouse, which I think that was one of the trends that came up at the conference, is this the growth of these nano breweries, they call them, a lot of them which are on farms, and sort of developing that whole idea of terroir, you know, mm-hmm. in beer, kind of a sense of place, which Belgium, a lot of the old breweries have that already, and now we're trying to get that in this country. So that's definitely a good trend, I think, is to get craft beer, you know, it is kind of an industrial process, or it can be, to get more of that some of that winemaking those ideals into craft beer. So you're seeing that definitely. And I love, you know, up in Vermont, there's all these tiny little, like, one barrel breweries. I mean, they got three other jobs, you know, because they can't possibly make any money, and they don't, but they're making beer. I mean, that's their passion. That's what they want to do full time. Mm-hmm. And they're trying to grow and there's this one new grower, I got to mention it, Hill Farmstead Brewery, up in the middle of nowhere in Greensboro Bend, Vermont, Northeast Kingdom. Sean Hill, he used to brew at the Shed up in Stowe and then went to Denmark and brewed at Norbrew for Anders for a while. And he actually won at the World Beer Cup at the Craft Brewers Conference. He won 2 golds and a silver for the beers that he made there in Denmark. At perfect timing, because he's just starting his own brewery up on his farm that his family's had for 200 years.
Wow.
And all the beers are named after his ancestors that worked the farm. And he's making beers. Each one is named after him. This is a beer that I would have liked to have had with my Uncle Abner. One of them is called Abner. His double IPA. And just stuff like, you know, all the hops are grown right there. All the fruit that goes into his sour beers It's grown right there. Mm. And so
he's making sour beers?
Yeah, he's just started, yeah.
Have you had any?
None of them are ready yet.
Okay.
It'll be a while. But he you know, probably by the end of the summer, hopefully we'll have some. But phenomenal brewer. Already the New Yorkers are, Union made a little stealth trip up there to Union Beer, one of our great craft distributors here in New York City, made a little stealth visit up there to try to sign him up. You know, he's got a 7-barrel brewery. I mean, like, how much beer is he going to make?
So, Dave, for our listeners out there, I mean, you know a lot of the small breweries, nano breweries. Are there any beers that we should be looking for that we might see soon in New York City that you know of? Or that you would wish to have in New York City?
Well, I think Sean is going to be sending his beer. I guess he had a good meeting with them, and so that's one you'll definitely see.
Where are they called again, Dave?
That one's Hill Farmstead Brewery.
Hill Farmstead.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to a good domestic sour beer because I've not had very many.
Well, the Alchemist, you know, he's not going to come to New York, but the Alchemist makes a really beautiful, also in Waterbury, Vermont. They make a really good, you know, not like.
Are they doing a lambic style? Or are they?
Yeah. It's not spontaneous. It's not, okay. You know, it doesn't have a cool ship or anything like that. But it's really nice. And what I like about it is it's got a lot of complexity. It's not in your face, just harshly sour, like gives you acid stomach. You can drink a few of them.
So has he propagated yeast to bring it to that place, or is he taking a yeast from like Rodenbach? Or
I think he started with someone else's, but he's been doing it now for 4 or 5 years.
Uh-huh. I'm really curious.
Yeah. I'll bring you some.
I'm looking forward to it.
Well, we're here tonight on Beer Sessions Radio, and I'll tell you this. I am so psyched to be here with two legends of New York City good beer bars. I got Ray Dieter and Dave Broderick. I mean, so is it true? So, Ray, you opened DBA before Blind Tiger.
Yeah, we opened in 1994.
Yeah, 2 years before.
So it's a short history.
And my ex-girlfriend used to work there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, where are you, Julia? I haven't seen you in a long time.
Yeah.
Hey, they're two great beer bars, DBA in Manhattan. I get DBA in Brooklyn and Blind Tiger Ale House. And we just popped another beer that Dave brought. What's that beer that I just had?
Oh, you're having the Heartwood.
Where is it?
So this beer was specially made for the Craft Brewers Conference. It's called the Heartwood. They brew a beer each year made by local brewers in whatever town. The Craft Brewers Conference moves from city to city in different place each year. And so this one, they decided... I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Goose Island made the first barrel-aged, you know, the Bourbon County Stout was really the first beer to do that. So Chicago kind of considers themselves the birthplace of barrel aging. And so what they did was 15 local breweries from Illinois got together and each divided up into four teams. Each brewed a different style of beer, aged in separate bourbon barrels, and then they blended them all together. And it's called Heartwood.
Okay.
What do you taste in this beer, Ray?
Well, the nose, a bit of oxidization.
That could be my fault.
They're strong.
Wow. A lot of bourbon.
Yeah, I would say this needs a little more time.
I think it needs to open up a bit.
Yeah.
Some bitterness there, too, in the finish.
Yeah.
I think it needs some more time.
It needs more time. I agree.
So, Heartwood Symposium. Guys, we're going to take a little break. We'll be back with more beer and more talk in a few minutes on the Heritage Radio Network.
I also got some...
Give it away.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. And I'm Jimmy Carboni, and our co-host tonight, Ray Dieter. One thing I want to say about being on Heritage Radio Network, it's really growing. It's a really great radio station. I know there's over 20 shows right now. There's a comment section on the website. So if you go to heritageradionetwork.com and you scroll to Beer Sessions Radio, you can comment on anything that we're talking about. But you can also start a dialogue. And one of our questions came in tonight from Billy. This is a really cool question. And just so you know, guest guy actually responded to Billy. So Billy asked the question, and guest guy responded. And you guys can go on and keep talking, and we'll talk about it. So we're really proud of Heritage Radio Network's website and their comment component. So the question is, I love that you do questions on the show. I got one for you. I buy mostly IPAs, Lagunitas, Brooklyn Brewery, but they all taste the same to me. What's the deal? Are all IPAs very similar in taste, or do I have shitty palate? I want to learn and see what I'm missing. Ray's got something to say about this, and so do I, so go for it, Ray.
Yeah, I do have something to say about that. I think, Billy, that your palate is actually a lot better than you might think. A lot of American IPAs are just echoes of each other. Overhopped, over-malted, and kind of just an excessive version of what the original IPA is. If you're looking for some difference in the IPAs, check out the English traditional IPAs. That's where it comes from. Look at Fuller's ESB. It doesn't say IPA on the label, but it's a good example of an IPA. You can look at Ridgeway. You can look at there's a ton of great English IPAs out there. Just check them out. Also, there's some people making good IPAs that aren't overhopped in America. I think that Goose Island's making a great IPA right now. I think that Dogfish Head, even though I love Sam and his extreme beer, his 60-minute IPA is a pretty good version. He's doing a great job. It's not too excessive. It's a well-balanced IPA in America. Look for English-style beers. And actually, Sierra Nevada had a beer. It's called ESB, Early Spring Beer, which I thought was a really great English-style IPA.
It's a really, really nice beer.
Yeah, I love that beer. It only comes out right around now, and I hope it comes out this year. I haven't seen it yet. I'm looking forward to it.
If I could throw in something real quick, also, I think that tasting a greater variety of beer styles almost gives you more of an appreciation.
Wait, first let me tell you, this is John Ludbaum from
John.
B United Imports, who has one of the best portfolios of small production import beers available in New York City.
Thanks, Jim.
You really do. That's why you're on the show.
Well, thank you very much.
Only the best beer guys come on the show.
I think tasting a variety of beer styles helps you understand variations within the style as well. You know, without tasting enough ESBs or enough best bitters or enough bitters or even stouts or things like that, I think that keeping yourself to one style such as IPA could really start to get a little monochromatic. I think there is a great variation within the style
and import portfolio. Mm-hmm. Other IPA or IPA style beers that you can recommend to Billy?
The best IPA, there's three IPAs in our portfolio I really, really love. One is the Burton Bridge Empire IPA.
Mm-hmm. Excellent from England. Excellent choice.
Yeah. Burton, obviously, is Burton-on-Trent is the town that Bass Brewery was originally located, and that's where the Burton Bridge Brewery is now. And
that's the original IPAs. IPA. The original IPA came from.
Exactly. Their IPA is tremendous.
It's an excellent Burton Bridge Empire IPA.
Great
beer. Excellent. You might get it in a few specialty beer shops.
Yeah. And if I had to recommend a second IPA, I'd probably actually recommend one from Denmark. I'm sure everyone in this room, plus many, many people listening, are aware that Scandinavia is a really booming beer, sort of craft beer region of the world right now. And they're very known for making excellent American styles. And there's a very small Danish brewery we work with called Wintercoat, and their double hop is probably the finest IPA.
One of my favorite beers in the world.
The Wintercoat double hop is spectacular.
What kind of hops are they using? Are they using an American or an English style? Or
they're using some American hops and some European hops. I don't know which ones offhand, but all that information is available on BeUnitedINT.com, right?
Absolutely.
And Dave, what are your IPA recommendations?
What I would say is I think there's such a difference between English and American, but then within America, it's such a big country. I would sit down and compare, line up some IPAs from East Coast, West Coast, and because there are very big I think there are big differences. I mean, I taste differences between all of those. And so maybe it's that he drinks one, then he goes out, drinks a six pack, and then goes out and buys another six pack, and it kind of. But if you line them up and put them all next to each other, I think you will see differences, you know, between things from the West Coast, which have a definite, you know, let's say Green Flash West Coast IPA, versus a 60 or a 90 minute from Dogfish. You're going to see differences. And absolutely. I think it's, and then, but throwing in English IPA, you know, just to see another huge difference. And that's kind of, you know, that's when it gets interesting. That's when it's kind of fun.
Even in England, you can see a difference between Sam Smith's IPA and a Fuller's product, a dramatic difference from the north right. to the south, you know, from London to Yorkshire.
Exactly.
But I think I know what Billy's saying, because if you're, I mean, we're spoiled. Those of us in this room, we're either beer importers or we own beer bars. We can order the best and the rarest of beers. And that's one reason I'm in the business, because I didn't want to be dependent on the buying or the palate of a package store owner or a liquor store owner. I mean, if you're not owning a bar, you might have to just go to your local, you know, grocery store, bodega, or liquor store. And there's really not that many choices. And this is really a good question, because I would say, as a bar owner, I'd say, well, you know, there's a brewery like Southern Tier, and they might have a fresh hop beer, you know, or there's Duranky XX in Brooklyn, I mean, in Belgium, which is basically a hoppy IPA, but it's also a triple, you know, but we have the luxury of choosing these styles. But it's true, when you go to a regular grocery store, you're probably going to see Lagunitas IPA, Smutty Nose IPA, and Brooklyn IPA, which are all good, but they may be very similar. So I think it's probably up to us as bar owners, maybe enjoy July this month, with Good Beer Month coming, some of the good bar owners could feature some different IPAs. And Billy, we're going to make sure you get invited to one of those tastings. I think that'll be fun. Hey, Ray, we had another question from last week about growlers. Did someone submit an answer?
Well, yeah, actually, it's interesting. We were talking about how long growlers would last, how long the beer would last in a growler. And I was very curious, and I kind of put the question out to the audience asking, why are they called growlers? Where did that name come from? It's basically a gallon of beer. Why is it called a growler? And we got an answer, and I'm going to share that with everybody right now. The term likely dates back to the 19th century, when fresh beer was carried from the local pub to one's home by means of a small galvanized pail. It is claimed the sound that the CO2 made when it escaped from the lid as the beer sloshed around sounded like a growl. And that's the answer. It's based on the sound that the actual original galvanized steel growler made.
And I know that this dates back to a lot of alcohol control laws too, where maybe a package store or a bottle store couldn't be open on a Sunday.
Well, I think it's more about back to a time when there wasn't so many laws, when actually you could send your son or your daughter down to the corner saloon and they would bring back a pail of beer to your house, a growler of beer to your house. I mean, you can't do that anymore. I've tried. it doesn't work. They don't serve my son. When he was 12 and I sent him over, it wouldn't serve him at my own bar. It was kind of a test.
So what did you do? You sent him to get some beer from your house and bring it home, from your bar and bring it home?
Just to see if they'd give it to him. And now he's 18 and he still tries, but they don't let him do it. But I think it comes to a time when it was less organized and less controlled. So, you know, so the local brewery or the local saloon was more a part of the community. And especially in New York City, what's happened here with, you know, especially after Giuliani's crackdown on things, you know, the bars have turned into the pariah of the city. You were considered like a fundraising organization for the city, the fire department, the health department. Yeah, we are.
What's this other beer you have, Dave?
Never mind.
Don't change the subject.
We love the Mayor Bloomberg. Mayor Bloomberg has issued a proclamation that July is Good Beer Month in New York City, and we love him for that. So Three Floyds. Dave, one of his special. This is a brewery that you've known for a long time.
This is why I go to Chicago.
It's one of your buddies, right?
I'm just starting to get to know them, but I've always loved the beer. And it used to actually be available in New York City for a very short period of time.
We had 20 minutes.
Yeah, about 20 minutes at the Old Tiger. I stocked up. And but they just, literally, they can't even supply Chicago. There's a huge demand.
How many barrels are they putting out?
Someone told me 17,000. I don't know if that's true, which is quite a bit of beer.
That sounds high.
I know, but that's apparently, and it's a big, I've been to the brewery. It's very good sized. And, but anyway, in any case, they're not coming to New York anytime soon. So the only way we get it is if we go there and then bring it back. But we have the Behemoth, which is their barley wine, which...
It's huge.
And... But I love it, and all their beers are I would say, you know, they have the Dreadnought, the Double IPA, the Alpha King, which is their flagship, which is one of the best flagship beers. I mean, I could drink that all it's day wonderful, long. Wonderful, you know, it's just incredible beer. And so I'm a huge fan of theirs, and I always bring some back.
For your own consumption.
For my own consumption, yes, not to sell. And I don't do that anymore. And but the Dark Lord, I don't know if you guys have heard about Dark Lord Day when like 10,000 people line up at the brewery for 8 hours to get four bottles. That's one day a year. It's crazy.
That is crazy.
And you know, we try to get some people to send it to us so we don't have to wait in line.
Do you have any, Dave?
I've got some.
Do you have some here?
Which you
today?
Have to come to Vermont to get. It's in my cellar.
So you guys at Blind Tiger, did one of your partners just open another Blind Tiger?
It's not a Blind Tiger, but he did open up his own place up in the Hudson Valley called the Birdsall House. Tim Ranke and
Peekskill, right?
In Peekskill. His partner, John Sharp. It's a phenomenal place. Got to be one of the most beautiful places, beer bars I've ever seen.
So there's a good beer bar up in Peekskill, New York.
Peekskill, New York.
Wow.
Close to Captain Lawrence.
Dave, did you bring us some cool information, like trivia or something from the Craft Brewers Conference?
I did. You know, you guys want some facts?
Let's have some fun with
facts?
You. Come on.
Fun facts? Okay.
Ray's the beer expert, and I'm the
Ray's
going to
enjoy this. Jimmy's going to enjoy this, too.
2 minutes.
Okay. 2 minutes. That's it. 1,585 breweries now in the United States.
Wow.
Okay. That's more than in 100 years. Though Garrett Oliver told me that there used to be 4,000, so we still got a ways to go. And that was like in the 1880s or something like that. 97% of those breweries are small and independent, like our bars. Our business was up, I think I already said, 7%. Though overall beer sales were down. Imports took a huge hit last year, down 10%. Except for Belgian beers, up 23%.
Stella.
Interesting.
Yeah.
No, craft brewers.
Yeah, craft.
Small.
So
small, yeah. No, small Belgian brewers, not InBev.
Like Be United Imports,
and,
yeah.
Okay. And next week, just so everybody knows, is Craft Beer Week nationally.
Nationally?
Nationally, it's Craft Beer Week, and there's a whole bunch of events going on. You can go on to craftbeerweek.org to find out what's going on, and they're still trying to grow that. It's fact that you didn't know, and I didn't know until I went to Craft Brewers Conference. It's pretty pathetic. They still have a ways to go.
Yeah, I think they do.
All these facts came from Nielsen Brewers Association, which runs Craft Brewers Conference, hired Nielsen to do all these trends and all that stuff. And so they came up with three reasons why craft beer is the only thing that's growing, basically. Right now, and that's the American palate has advanced, not just for beer, obviously, but for food. And the best beers in the world, Ray's gonna have a problem with this, but the best beers in the world are now made in America. And a lot of you know, the European brewers, I think, well, we'll find out what Jerome thinks about that. But I've heard from a number of you know, European brewers say, you know, admit that they taught us, and now we're in turn teaching them. And then the other third reason is that America's chefs have grown up now. A lot of, you know, they're younger and they've grown up with craft beer, and they're using it in their cooking, they're pairing with it, and they're really into it. So those are some of the reasons that craft beer is still on the rise.
That's excellent. That's our roving reporter, Dave Broderick. We're going to take another break. We're here at Beer Sessions Radio on Heritage Radio Network. We will see you in a few minutes. Thank you.
Put a spell on you. Because you're mine. Stop the things you do. What's up? A spell on you.
Welcome back to Beer Sessions Radio on the Heritage Radio Network. We're waiting for a special guest, and in the meantime, I want to have our friend John Ludbaum from Be United tell us about him and
not
tell
the
us more.
Guest.
Well, who is your special guest that we're waiting for?
We're waiting for Jerome Rebite.
Let's say these three initials: BFM. If you really know good beer, you go to some places like, you know, DBA, Jimmy's, Blind Tiger, and especially Beer Table, because Beer Table really is into some of the more obscure, small production Belgian and European beers. BFM, I don't know what it stands for. I know the beers are really expensive and really good. And you import them, don't you?
Well, you know, some of them are certainly expensive. Some of them are just kind of expensive. Jerome Rebite is the brewmaster and owner of BFM. He started the brewery, I believe, 12 years ago. Let's actually grab that one that's just that guy right.
So why don't you start with,
over.
Tell us the beers that you brought and tell us about BFM.
All right, let's start by tasting a BFM beer. So this
I've always
is
been
actually,
a lousy bartender. That's
this is the newest beer from Brasserie. BFM stands for Brasserie de Franche-Montagne. In French,
so Brasserie de Franche-Montagne.
Right.
BFM. Okay.
Yeah, the Franche-Montagne means Free Mountains. It's a region of France and Switzerland. It's the mountainous region in which...
So it's okay on my beer list if I say BFM so-and-so and it's $52 a bottle. People get what BFM means.
Well, I mean, the brewery is certainly branded as BFM. You can see on the, you know, caps of all
It sounds like
bottles.
A text message kind of thing, BFM. Mm. You know, it sounds like...
Or ASCAP.
Best friend.
Like that.
Mama.
Something ugly, yeah.
Yeah. So Jerome started the brewery about 12 years ago. He trained as an enologist, as a wine scientist, and was a home brewer. And competed in a brewery in a reality television show in Switzerland called what the translation is The Dream of Your Early 20s, and he was one of maybe a half dozen people who competed in the show and presented their dream of their early 20s for and then all of Switzerland called in and voted, sort of American Idol style, and he won a grant of 30,000 francs to start up BFM about 12 years ago. This is his newest beer. It's called Beer Ambre Parfumeo Terry Souchon.
Which means? Which
literally translates to amber beer with smoked tea leaves.
That's exactly what it tastes like. Exactly.
That's such a good pal.
Yeah, probably his least creative name,
John,
but one of my favorite.
With a subtle finish. Sour finish.
Yeah, were he here, we could tell him to add that.
BFM, guys. Some of our listeners really do want to know about the beers that we're drinking, and someone actually emailed tonight and said, you know, I've listened through all six episodes, because you really can sit and listen to our show as if it's an audiobook or a little iTunes, excuse my technical. But this is a great beer, and I always call it BFM, and I'm just so proud that John brought it to us, and I'm so proud that we're waiting for the BFM brewmaster.
He's in a cab somewhere between JFK and here. Wow. Yeah. This is his newest beer. It's really beautiful. He uses a house yeast for all his beers, except for the sour beers, which we'll taste in a bit. It's originally a Belgian yeast strain and does have that sort of slight sourness, almost fruit punchy character that you get from a lot of Belgian beers.
And we have a lot of them.
And we have a bunch.
You have this one. Just want you to tell us the label names, because they are hard to find, but if you can find them, or if you can go to a store like Beercraft, there are some really good beer stores. Where do you sell these beers retail?
In New York City, probably the best retail places to go for beer would be Beercraft, as you mentioned. Joe.
What about in Manhattan?
In Manhattan, Whole Foods on the Bowery can't be beat. They've really done
a tremendous job.
Also, down the street from there,
and New Beer
does a really, really good job.
Thrifty Beverage too.
Joe's, Thrifty's is great. We're going back to Brooklyn. Also, Joe has a Spite and Dabble grocery out in Brooklyn, which does a really good job. And then also, really, all of the Whole Foods locations do a really good job with their beer selection. But Whole Foods on the Bowery, just because of the scope and because of the ambition, have really just completely sort of surpassed the capabilities of most of the other locations in Manhattan. But yeah, fantastic. The other BFM beers I brought, the next one is Cuvée Alex Le Rouge, which is Jerome's Imperial Stout. It is a really, really interesting beer. Very strong, very dark. It's over 10% alcohol. And he uses a really interesting brewing technique with this. He makes the base beer and uses an extraction of vanilla bean, bourbon chocolate,
and black tea leaves. He actually soaks those in straight distilled alcohol, because if you add those spices to the boil, they, especially the black pepper, they tend to extract the really sort of acrid, intense, deeply, deeply burny, right, spicy parts. But he wants the actual black pepper flavor. So does the extraction in straight distilled alcohol.
It's like making perfume, basically.
Exactly. And then adds that back into the beer, but only after the beer has been dry hopped for 3 months.
And this 3 months?
Yes, wow. 3 months. And, John, and every time he does a presentation, people don't quite hear 3 months, John, dry hopping.
This beer also has a subtle sourness to it.
Again, same yeast strain, which same again, he's yeast. Going for the very, very slight sourness.
I got to say, the nose is very, very, not there, really. It's kind of...
It's not meant to have a super big, intense nose. It's not meant to have the sort of super big hops or super big spice.
Whoa, okay. The beer is there, though.
Exactly.
The beer is definitely there.
The great Jerome quote is, we were discussing the use of pepper in beer, and he said, the easiest thing in the world is... God, I wish he was here right now. The easiest thing in the world is to make a beer when you taste it, and you taste lots of pepper, and you say, oh, it tastes like lots of pepper. But the challenge as a brewmaster, as an artist, is to use pepper in a way that's subtle and integrates into the flavor, sure, where it's there and you can't quite pick it out.
Well, one of the profiles of a farmhouse ale, of a saison, mm-hmm, is that peppery kind of flavor. Although there's no actual pepper in the beer, but you get that kind of a black pepper
from the yeast,
flavor,
yeah,
from the yeast. Like, yeah,
esters. Yeah.
But this is great.
Well, speaking of saison, and to jump off BFM for a second, I do have a very historic saison beer here. If you want to take a quick taste.
Ooh la la!
Can I talk you into it?
You can talk. Yes.
So what is craft brewing like in Switzerland? This is a Swiss beer.
Essentially non-existent. Jerome was the first by leaps and bounds. There are a couple other breweries doing very, very good work. There's a brewery whose name escapes me, actually very, very close to Jerome, making sort of American-style craft beer and doing a very good job of it. But as in many countries around the world, the vast majority of beer consumption in Switzerland is... international lagers. Jerome is really kind of an island unto himself.
How much does he brew a year?
Barrel wise, I don't know. If only this seat was full with a brewmaster.
he's probably nano.
When did he start brewing?
About 12 years ago. He makes, the only way I know, I keep track of how old the brewery is every year he makes an anniversary beer. And he brews it once a year for his big sort of open air anniversary party. And the first one that we as a company became aware of was his 7th anniversary, Cuvée de Septième, which was sort of his take on an IPA, which is really beautiful. And then he made Cuvée de Huitième, which was his 8th anniversary beer. And he's all the way up to Cuvée de Onzième, which was his 11th anniversary beer. So this summer, his 12th anniversary beer will come out. He's thinking of making something with salt, sort of based on a Leipzig or Goza kind of style.
That's interesting.
Ray, do you sell any BFM beers?
I don't, but I will.
Well, I will say that it was about 2 years ago, I think, we had our first BFM beer. Every once in a while, John comes to Jimmy's Number 43 and hosts some type of tasting, maybe a bacon and beer tasting. And so it was a chance for us to load up on some of her specialty beers. So we had these large format 750-liter bottles of BFM. And, of course, looking at the pricing, I had to sell them for $54. And I thought, that's crazy. This must be really special, and I treat it with reverence. And how would you say that in French? Reverence.
Reverence.
But I never tasted one because I'm like, this is too expensive. But we sold them. People bought the bottle at $54.
And you never tasted one of them.
I never got to taste one.
Because you couldn't afford to buy the beer that you were selling.
You had to sell it.
Yeah, well,
I know the feeling.
It's funny. I mean, the last beer of his we're going to taste, and by the way, he's outside the building right now, so he's on his way in, is Abbé de Saint-Bonchien, which I can tell you a bit more about. In my opinion, and as the New York... I mean, in my opinion, it's the best beer made in the world.
Guys, we're going to have to... Jack and Nat, the engineer and producer, we're going to have to keep this show rolling tonight. We have a very special guest, just arrived from Switzerland. He drove here from JFK. If you're a Red Sox fan, this is like a few years ago, Doug Martin, I can't remember his name. Anyways, a certain baseball player got escorted by the police to Fenway Park, and I don't remember anything else. This is what it's like. We have a brewer. He was escorted here by the police from JFK Airport, and he's just pulling up. And we're going to ask the Heritage Radio Network people to keep us going for another 10-15 minutes. This will be our longest show ever. Jerome from BFM is on his way in. Thank you, John.
Hey, so other beers from Switzerland, Sammy Klaus. Yeah. That's a Swiss beer, isn't it?
I think historically it was Swiss. Isn't it brewed in Austria now?
I think it is now. They about 2 or 3 years, maybe 5 or 6 years ago they changed it.
A while ago, yeah.
Yeah. I never really liked that beer.
They kicked it out. The Swiss got rid of it.
Good.
Yeah. Let's talk about some of the other beers. I mean, you mentioned Wintercoat Double Hop. I was hooked on Wintercoat, excuse me, a few years ago. And I am frustrated sometimes. I mean, I can understand our listeners just trying to figure out, hey, let me have a better IPA. Well, me as a good beer bar owner, I'm like, hey, I tried this great beer, Wintercoat, once. I had like one coat of double hop IPA, uh-huh. And I'm like, I'm hooked, and it's like, I can never get it. So I can imagine what our listeners are like trying to get a half decent beer from their package store.
Yeah, well, I mean,
what's going on?
The vast majority of the international breweries we work with, bottles are readily available. Getting kegs into the States for a lot of these breweries is a very, very different situation. John, a lot of these breweries do not have kegging lines.
Right. A lot of these beers aren't kegged at home. I know a lot of the Belgian beers are bottle conditioned, and they keg them especially for the American market.
Exactly. We, as an importer, own a keg pool of several thousand kegs that we send all over the world to be filled and sent back here, which makes these kegs very, very small and very, very...
ladies and gentlemen,
difficult
Jerome from BFM is here.
In the house.
Escort from JFK.
Hi, hello. Hi, John. How are you?
Bonjour.
How are you, Jerome? Bonjour.
It's fine. It was quite hard to find here. And because of the volcano, I'm a bit late. I'm sorry.
Because of the volcano. Oh, yeah. Everybody's using that excuse, right?
As usual.
That was my problem getting here today, too, from Williamsburg.
Jerome, what was it like setting up a craft brewery in Switzerland? Was it very hard?
Yes, it was very hard because I did it when I was something like 23, which means quite a century ago. And, you know, maybe John told you, but I began to think of a TV show. I won a special prize, something like $50,000 in order to begin my brewery. But it's not a lot, and I had to fight a lot because handcrafted.
Did you compete in a brewing competition?
No, it was something like a competition for young guys who had projects. Or I would build
like
something.
A genius project.
No. It was a choice between a school in Burkina Faso and a brewery in my state, and they chose the brewery.
And oh, I'm sorry, say that again. It was a brewery and a what?
A school in Burkina Faso, something
a
like that.
A school?
That was an easy choice.
No. So do I think, too.
You mean a scholarship or something? No?
The school didn't stand a chance.
We love your beer. Ray's going to ask you some questions because he understands. Are you from Switzerland? Are you from the French-speaking part or the German-speaking part?
Yes, I am from the French-speaking part.
Okay.
Oui.
Jerome. Ray's got some questions for you because
he loves
your beer.
You have you're using tea in your beers.
Yes.
Where does that come from? Is that something that you've decided on yourself, or
sort of, of course, because this beer is made with a special smoked Chinese tea, as John explained to you,
maybe. A little.
I decided it because visiting an asphalt mine in my area, I could feel such a smell like we can smell. When you drink this smoked tea, I don't know if you drink tea sometimes.
I do drink tea, yes.
I used to drink tea, now I have it in the beer. And I tried to complex it with a special smoked malt coming from Bamberg, it's a part of Germany.
I've been to Bamberg a lot of times.
Let me just tell our listeners, Jerome is one of the top brewers in the world. There are so many people in New York City who love his beer, and we're so happy that you're here, Jerome. Thank you. What's the beer we're drinking now? Tell us about this beer.
Oh, it's...
We switched to another beer. There's so many beers he has. They're all good.
Confused.
They're all sour.
This beer is called Abbey de Saint-Bonchien, Abdi of the Holy Good Dog. Good Dog was our cat when she died because a guy wanted to give him to this cat an industrial beer. It was so boring. You want one as well?
Yes, please.
Okay. And we decided to holify the cat, and it became Saint-Bonchien. And it's a very special beer because it's aged in oak barrels that contain first some red wine, some grappa sometimes, some rum. And it's very exciting because after something like 8 to 10 months, I make a blend out of it. And we can have something really complex and quite a complicated beer, a winey beer. Maybe, you know, I used to be a winemaker when I was young. But fortunately, I turned on the dark side.
Well, Jerome, this is Dave. He's from Blind Tiger Alehouse.
Oh, okay.
And Ray from DBA.
Nice to meet you.
Two of the best beer bars in the city.
I know your beer bar. Maybe you're not.
DBA?
DBA. No.
Well, you'll learn.
I will go.
We'll take you there after the show.
I know it's hard being French, and it's probably harder being a Frenchman in Switzerland, but we love your beer. I wish there were some jokes to tell you. Do we have any jokes about Swissmen?
About Swissmen?
Do they have jokes in Switzerland?
We have jokes about Belgian guys and so.
Exactly. Please tell us. They never make fun of themselves.
Maybe I have one. Shall I or not?
It's okay.
You can do it.
You can't criticize politicians.
This is internet
but
radio.
You can say dirty words on the show.
It's okay. It's do you know the pasture, the dessert that will diminute for about 50 to 60% the sex appeals of girls?
Yes.
Do you have an idea? The wedding cake.
Okay. This is what I tried to say. We can't make fun of French and we can't make fun of Swiss, but they can make fun of Belgians. And did any of you get that joke? No. But we love your beer, man. BFM, I know that at beer table you can get the beer. And put John back on, because John is your American representative. Tell us a little bit more about BFM one last time. We love the beer.
BFM, Brasserie de Franche Montagne, located in the Jura Mountains, in the Franche Montagne, in the, sort of near the French border of Switzerland. Lots of, seven or eight beers available from BFM here in the States now. Le Moule, probably being the most readily available. Cuvée de Septième, Cuvée de Huitième. BATS, the Beer Ombre, Parfumatory Souchon.
BFM is awesome. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what we're going to do tonight. We're so happy that you came. And we're sorry that you're so late, but we are going to close out soon. What we do every night after Beer Sessions Radio is we hang out. Our host for the Heritage Radio Network is Roberta's Restaurant in Bushwick at 261 Moore Street. It's a great place. We usually hang out. Sometimes Ray and I split a steak for two, which is really a steak for four. They have great pizzas, and they have a really great menu. The first time I came, I thought it was a simple brunch menu. I came at night, and it's one of the better restaurants in Brooklyn, and they've established themselves. And after this tonight, a bunch of us are going to go over to Joe Carroll's Spite and Dival on Havemeyer and Metropolitan in Brooklyn and talk about the Good Beer Seal and some of the things coming up. I will let you know that on May 25th, talking about the growth, the 7% growth of American craft beers, the 23% growth of Belgian craft beers, our Good Beer Seal group of 15... on May 25th, we'll grow to over 25. We've had a media committee that has picked over 10 new bars, and it's only representative of the growth of good craft beer in the city. We're really proud about that. Our party will be at DBA Brooklyn. Listeners are welcome to come. It's technically a private party, but we expect to blow the house with beer press and beer industry people. And if you're a listener, come to DBA Brooklyn on Tuesday, May 25th after 7 o'clock. Some of our other events that are upcoming. Tonight, there's a really cool $10 tasting at Jimmy's Number 43 with Brian Ewing of 12% Imports. He's a young importer who's got some really small Belgian beers. In Belgium, there's over 4,000 breweries, and I think he has over 20 right now. Wednesday, May 12th, Standings Bar in Manhattan, Lagunitas Lollapalooza. Wednesday, May 12th, Blind Tiger Ale House, the Green Flash event.
32 Green Flash beers.
It's the most beers they've ever had from one brewery.
Yeah, they're true. Setting the record. Yep.
Yep.
31 before, now it's 32.
And Green Flash is also my favorite brewery from the West Coast. So that is the night. I would hit Blind Tiger tomorrow night. And the Pony Bar has Goose Island Brewing with Brewmaster Greg Hall. This is a beer week.
Greg's
look
in
at
town,
this, right?
Huh?
Greg Hall's in town. Green Flash at Blind Tiger. Greg Hall at Pony Hall. Pony Bar. I'm getting excited. I can't even pronounce it. Barcade has Harpoon Night on Thursday. Mondays is always Liquids of Interest at DBA Brooklyn. So go to goodbeerseal.com for our events calendar and links to your favorite Good Beer Seal bars. This is Beer Sessions Radio. I'm Jimmy Carboni, and executive producer. Co-producers are Jack Inslee and Brie O'Connor, and engineer Nat Wiener. We will see you soon. Find Beer Sessions on Facebook. Thanks for your comments, everybody. Go online, write to us, call in and post your comments, and we will talk about you on Beer Sessions Radio. Thank you. Have a good night.
And lend me your ears. I like beer. It makes me a job.